Kitchen Garden on Community Radio Kilkenny City 88.7 FM with Frances Nesbitt and Mags Morrissey.
Hello and you're very welcome to the Kitchen Garden on Community Radio Kilkenny City. I'm Frances Nesbitt from Crowan Cottages here in Kilkenny and I'm joined as usual by Mags Morrissey from Hedgehog Bakery. We're live today, Friday from 4 to 5 and this show is repeated on Mondays from 4 to 5. But while we're on air, we'd love to hear from you, so please feel free to send us any questions or comments that you might have or just to say hello. You can text the show on 086 353 7782. You can call the station 776 2777 or you can email us at any stage during the week, kitchengarden@crkc.ie. Now on the show today, the usual mix of and variation. We'll be talking about some nature notes, we'll be talking about food news, we'll be talking about things to do in the garden, we'll be talking about seasonal kind of recipes, and of course, although it's today is we're not into December yet, we really can't avoid the fact that Christmas is just around the corner, so we might even be talking a little bit about things to do in preparation for that. Mags, how was your week?
Great. I just said great. I don't know whether great. It was or not and stuff. If I think about it in too much detail, I can say that. But, well, I haven't been here for 2 weeks, so I have buckets of news. Big news in our house is that the Labrador is having puppies. I know you've heard about it, but the listeners haven't heard about it yet. So lots of things happen in our house that are not quite planned. This is one of them. But anyway, there'll be Labrador Retriever puppies.
Now, don't start selling the puppies now. Never count your puppies until they're hatched.
No, and I'll be very... Yes, so they should be nice. She's a lovely dog, bitch, and he's lovely too. So, and she's growing by the minute.
Very good. Yeah. And is the parentage guaranteed now of these? Like, if they
I'm
were
pretty
to start
confident.
Popping out black or like a Jack Russell or something.
But no, I'm pretty confident. I have photographic evidence. I caught them. So I don't think we need much more than that, do we?
Okay, excellent. That's good news.
So yeah, there's that news. And I'm really glad it's November is kind of at the end of it. Another couple of hours and we're over it. So that's good. It's been a hard month, I think, for pretty much most people.
It's nearly a pity the toy show isn't on the 1st of December, although I suppose it's right the way the end of tonight. So, you know, it's almost December that we can start.
And it's the weekend, so I think it's okay. Yeah.
Town was mad. I was in town earlier on today and you'd swear it was the 8th of December.
Yeah.
It was packed. Every shop, crazy amount of shoppers around town. So I don't know whether they're trying to get a head start on the Christmas shopping or whether it's just the usual, everybody does everything at the same time.
I've noticed even actually, like, supermarkets are busier in the last maybe like week.
People getting the tins of biscuits in too.
Or maybe buying ingredients for baking, I'm not sure which, but I was actually in Kilkenny's latest venue, down in Ballyhale Mountain View Golf Club last week, which is a beautiful spot actually, which is very local to me. It's only about 10 minutes. But one of Kilkenny's chefs, Marie Rafter, is the new chef down there, and they've done a huge job, the O'Neill family, on renovating it. And it's now a really beautiful place actually to visit. Fabulous That's views and...
Marie X of Zuni?
Yeah.
Okay.
That lady. And gorgeous food, really nice welcome and everything and stuff. A really nice place, actually, if you're in Ballyhale and looking for somewhere. It's a little bit off the beaten track for a lot of people, but worth the effort, actually.
That's a big departure for Marina to go from, like, Zuni's in the city, and then she went down to Troy's Gate to the hotel down there.
Colonel.
And then now out to Ballyhale. It's Ballyhale, the Mountain View Golf Club.
It's the golf club, but you don't have to have anything to do with the golf to actually be there. So, I just thought they were worth giving a plug to today, actually. Very nice family, too. So, good spot if you're...
That part of Kilkenny, I suppose, needed somewhere. Although, in the village of Ballyhale is the community-run coffee shop, which opened recently as well. I was in there with the kids one day, and it's very
good.
Nice. Very nice, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that, actually.
Now, it volunteer-run, loads of enthusiasm the day I was out there. There was more staff, more volunteers than customers, almost. But, very nice little spot.
I think the place in Lochmore, actually, the cottage in Lochmore, gave them a help or something, and they're setting up in that.
Gave them lots of advice. You know, my cousin is involved in the cottage in Lochmore.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we go. So what other news? Did you enjoy your holiday last week?
Yes, I did.
Very good.
Had a great time, actually.
Excellent.
Thank you.
So you're all filled with enthusiasm again and
Yeah.
Good to be back.
I got some lovely venison chops, actually. Fresh venison chops, which I'd never had. I'd never cooked venison chops before. I'd cooked other stuff. So I cooked them for a couple of minutes each side, like less than 3 minutes each side. They were absolutely delicious, the nicest thing. And just made a little bit of gravy from the pan and stuff. Mm. Absolutely fabulous. So there seems to be lots of venison around this year. And I'm kind of bartering with various things, pork and other bits and pieces. So that's worked out quite well.
There is, there's plenty of venison about because Cuailte have mounted a major campaign to reduce numbers on their land because they're causing a lot of damage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But deer numbers in general are way, way, way up.
Okay.
There's lots and lots of them about.
Well, it's funny actually. I was to see what, you know, species do change. I was chatting to a man this morning. He was talking about he was trying to trap magpies. Mm. Magpie numbers have increased actually again this year, and he ended up in the trap. A pine marten got into the trap with the magpie.
Right.
So that
end
was
of,
the
end of that for
end
the magpie.
Of
I'd
the
say.
Magpie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another news in my house is that the transition year student is doing a cookbook. So if you're looking for any cookbooks, you won't find them because she's taken most of them. So when I went looking for mince pie recipes earlier, I was in slight bother. I had to make it up.
And where have they all gone? She brought them into school.
They go to school in various places and
Okay.
Dotted around the house.
She knows writing a cookbook isn't just about kind of copy and paste. Right.
No, she's kind of she does. She does.
Very good.
She's checking recipes and that. So, and yeah, that's it. That's my news.
Well, I have a little piece of news. Speaking of deer and venison, I was on the way to Dublin Airport earlier this week because I went over to River Cottage. Did I tell you I was in River Cottage this week doing a bit of work over in River Cottage?
No, I don't think anyone knew about that, did
they? Yes, a lovely time in River Cottage. And we'll mention that. All work, yes, absolutely.
There was no work.
We'll mention that. I have a report prepared for next week, maybe, or the week after. Next week. And we'll talk about that. But on the motorway, as I was going through Kildare, that very wooded bit just before the M9 joins the M7, two muntjac deer came wandering past me. On the motorway.
Wow.
They're small, little, tiny deer.
Yeah,
they're,
I know them.
About the size, the height, maybe a little bit bigger than a Labrador in height.
Yeah.
Very, very light frame, very timid creatures. And they were in the hard shoulder walking the wrong direction on the motorway. But obviously they were trying to cross from one side to the other. But it's the first time I've ever seen one.
And you know the way they have the deer signs, the warning signs. Mm. And for years you're thinking, I've never seen a deer in the motorway. Has anyone ever seen a deer in the motorway?
Well,
but there you go.
I've seen deer, but I never expected to see the muntjac, which is like a tiny, tiny little deer, kind of recent introduction. I know they're well established in the UK and parts over there as well, but I'd never expected to see one of them. Didn't even think they were in the country. But when I looked it up afterwards, then sure enough, Kildare has a small population of them and somewhere up in the Midlands as well.
Oh.
Yeah, obviously escapees from
I hope
from
they got off safely.
I hope they got to the other side, as the fella says, but I wasn't going to try and stop and help them across. Yeah.
No, not really.
Not
a great place to be now.
No, on the wrong side of the motorway. But it was great to see them. And I suppose if you'd hit them, you could always make venison chops, no?
Could, yeah. I'm not sure. There might be a little bit mashed chops. make some mince pies.
They look lovely. So happy Christmas. We're allowed to say it now, are we?
Well, tomorrow's December, so okay. I think it is. And actually, I was looking up, we actually chatted about mince pies on the 1st of December last year, so I think that this is appropriate, really.
Do you know
it?
What? I think people are just mad keen to get stuck into mince pies. I love mince pies.
Yeah, so do I.
And I was chatting to a man on Twitter about it this week, and he's made his own fruit from his own trees for his own mince pies. Isn't that very posh?
Oh, what does he make? Like, using the mince, the peel.
Yeah, but he's not using sultanas or raisins. He's using kind of dried other fruits instead, all from his own orchard. I know. People have a lot of time, but fair play to them. I like the traditional kind of recipes. Now, these are puff.
They're puff pastry.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they're triangular.
And they're triangular, so they're not traditional.
Controversial.
Yes.
No, we might tweet a picture of this.
For the crack, I thought.
Now, will you try and smile in the photograph this time? Because every time I tweet the photograph, you start giving out to me.
Like that?
That's not a great smile. They look lovely.
They do look nice, don't they?
Yeah. Will you talk for about 5 minutes while I eat one?
Okay, so I always make a non... a non-cooked minced meat. Some people cook their minced meat and go to an awful lot of trouble. I just think life's a bit too short. You don't need to do that. So I make a non-cooked one, which I've been making for years, and I actually give people jars of it as presents because it's very nice, actually. And then you can use different types of pastry.
I was in River Cottage making stuff to give as presents at Christmas. Did I tell you that earlier?
I can't wait for Christmas. I can't wait for the hamper I'm going to get.
Sorry, you were saying you make your mincemeat earlier.
What?
And you jar it up.
I do, and I jar it up.
You give it for Christmas.
Originally, mince pies were made with lamb. Did you know that?
Yes, because you told me last year.
I did, indeed, didn't I? But I have a slightly different story this year, actually, because I realised that this might be slightly repeated. back in Georgian times, mince pies were considered quite, of what the rich people ate, and quite opulent, and they were made into different shapes. So they would be made into like stars or hearts or floral, and if you had a really good chef and that, they might even make a jigsaw of mince pies, so all of the little pieces would fit together and stuff, and that would have been the ultimate kind of status symbol on your Christmas dinner party table.
Oh.
So that's new, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Well done, yeah.
That was in the UK and stuff, and they came from the UK, but generally they were kind of oval in shape, and they represented the baby Jesus manger, and then the blanket, the kind of the cap on top was the blanket, and sometimes even back in the day there might have been a little pastry baby stuck onto the top of it. We tend to just dust them in icing sugar now, so that mincemeat is I use raisins, sultanas, currants, dark brown sugar, vegetarian suet, which you can buy in all the supermarkets, mixed peel. Now you can just buy a tub of that, or you can go and make your own. I just borrow your tub. Marmalade.
Marmalade?
Yeah.
But you always put marmalade in?
Yes, always.
Really?
It's very important. Yeah.
Does every recipe have marmalade
in it? A lot of recipes have marmalade, actually. Not every, because there's a lot, huge variation.
I think the correct ones don't.
No, they do. Only the really correct ones do.
Right, listeners, if you're a fan of marmalade or not a fan of marmalade in your mince pies, you might let us know. We could do a poll. So far, the studio is split. I'm horrified to hear that there's marmalade
in
it.
You've enjoyed my mince pies for years.
Really?
With marmalade.
I didn't know there was marmalade in there. That may change everything.
I'd always put a good dollop of marmalade in.
During the ads, I'm going to have to taste these again now with my newfound knowledge and see.
All okay. Right. Whiskey?
Yep.
Or brandy? Have you a preference of one of those?
No, either. Either or.
Yeah.
Either or. But while I was in River Cottage earlier in the week, do you know what I noticed? I don't know how the Irish got a reputation as such heavy drinkers from our cousins across the water in England, because they use so much booze in their cooking. And
really?
Yeah. And drinking during the day and pints at lunchtime and all of that kind of stuff.
They'll be in bed at 10 o'clock at night.
It's true. They go to bed very, very early. It is. It's true. But the amount of booze that was used in some of the recipes in River Cottage, never would have thought of it. And then it's like everybody's having a snifter of like apple brandy at 11 o'clock in the morning. I should taste that because it's going into the food. Good Lord, I couldn't believe it.
Couldn't believe it.
You wouldn't get it at a cookery course at Crow and Cottages, I could tell you.
No.
Then hand people knives.
You're not really giving them booze with their butchery.
Disaster waiting to happen. Anyway, sorry, that was just a mention.
That was a slight distraction from the recipe. I always use whiskey because my father still insists on giving me a bottle of whiskey randomly throughout the year. And I've never drank whiskey. Tired of telling him. So anyway, but I always throw in whiskey and throw in a bit extra, and then some cooking apples grated, and zest of an orange and a lemon.
Very
I will
good.
Write all that out, and you can put it up and stuff
and
for
I'll,
the quantities.
I'll put it up with a podcast of the show. But yeah. I'll be tasting one of these now during the ad break. But before we go to the ad break, there's a few things that I've been asked to mention. The Christmas celebrations officially begin in Kilkenny with the great switch on of the Christmas lights by Councillor Peter Chapclear, who is of course the mayor of the municipal district of Kilkenny City. And that happens on Saturday, the 1st of December, on the parade at 4:30. And members of the public are, of course, invited to come along and see Kilkenny light up for Christmas 2018. And the theme this year is Shop Kilkenny. And that's a message that we're always going to give out on the show and indeed on Community Radio Kilkenny City. So please do try and use your local retailers rather than buying everything online. Community Radio Kilkenny City is having, again, its Christmas draw. And the prizes are even better this year than last year. The first prize is €1,000 in cash. That'd be nice.
But can we win?
I'm just going to buy my entire book of tickets that I was supposed to sell to other people. That'd be brilliant. Second prize is a week's accommodation in Spain.
Nobody in the station can actually win, no?
No? All right, well, I may need to rethink that plan. Tickets are only a fiver, and €1,000 return for first prize would not be great. You can get tickets here at Community Radio Kilkenny City, or if you talk to any of the volunteers, we've all been given books of tickets to sell, so talk to anybody who's on the station. And sticking with the Christmas theme, the First Kilkenny Scout Group are holding a Christmas fair on Sunday, the 2nd of December, and that's between 2 and 4 in the Scouts Den on the Bennett's Bridge Road. And I know there's also a Christmas bake sale out in Dunmore Hall on the 2nd. That's after 11 o'clock Mass. So all of that kind of stuff is kind of kicking off around about now.
Yeah, can I mention Thomastown's...
I was just going to go to an ad break. Lights, we're going to be late for the ads now.
Yeah. Lights and parade.
So the light, the parade of light, isn't
parade
that what it
of
is?
Light and turning on of the lights and Santa arriving on the fire truck is all happening on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock.
Sunday evening at 6.
Gathering in the Quay car park, and then we're walking to the community centre.
Now, is everybody walking all the way around to the community centre this time, or will it just be half the crowd left
everybody
behind?
Everybody who wants to walk can walk. And we're going, yeah, there's no kind of looping, so there's no opportunity for losing people.
Okay.
Or people
very
stopping.
Very good. Big crowds there last year.
Huge crowds last year. I don't know what, so I think the weather should be okay. And it should be nice, actually. Yeah, but bring a light, bring a lantern or a light, or use your mobile or whatever. And the lights will be turned on as we go through town.
Oh, very sophisticated.
Very sophisticated.
I can't wait to see that happen smoothly without any hiccups. Okay, we'll take an ad break and we'll be back just after these. Text us on 086 353 7782. You can email the show, kitchengarden@corkc.ie. No, marmalade is evil. That's it. I'm just...
You
loved
any
more of it. No, marmalade
you're
is evil.
You're licking your lips.
Oh, we're back on... you're very welcome back to the Kitchen Garden on Community Radio Kilkenny City. We're just having an argument here during the break about marmalade. Pros or cons? I'm very anti-marmalade. You can send us your opinions by text.
He's got... icing sugar and crumbs all over the place.
The mince pies are nice, but marmalade is evil.
By itself.
By itself, yes. So you can send us a text, 086 353 7782. Marmalade, I think, is like it's traditionally an English condiment, isn't it? Like or preserve.
Mm.
While I was in England earlier this week, over at River Cottage, I learned a few things that they have that never seem to have kind of made it across the water here. Did you ever hear of
moles.
A shrub?
Moles, no.
Well, they have moles, yes, but we weren't eating moles, mole on a stick. Shrub, which is a vinegar and sugar preserved fruit. So into vinegar, you add an equal amount of sugar, and then into that you put things like quince or any other kind of fruit, and leave it for like several months, so that the liquor takes on the taste of the fruit as well as everything else. Bloody delicious. It kind
of ferments.
It ferments a little.
Yeah, it would do.
So it's slightly effervescent.
Slightly pickly, you know, vinegar and sugar.
Strong vinegar flavour from it, but more. You know, it has something extra in there. But fantastic to add to cocktails and stuff. And then I was talking to somebody who makes, actually our friend Ollie of the Bees, friend of this show, and he makes a rhubarb version of it, a recipe that he got from somebody in England as well.
I haven't heard of it, and I have to say
never heard of it.
So are you giving it to everybody for Christmas?
I'm going to be making shrub now. Non-stop.
So you make quince shrub or rhubarb shrub
Exactly. You leave it there in your jar, fermenting away, and then you add the liquor to a glass of Prosecco
or sparkling water whatever.
Sparkling water.
So kind of like a cordial-y type thing.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Like a vinegar-based cordial.
Okay.
Curd. Do you ever make lemon curd?
Yes. Do you remember I made black currant curd?
I don't remember that. Did you bring it into the show?
Gave it to you, yes, yes. It was like a really vibrant colour, obviously. It's a huge amount of work because you've got to like cook the black currants and sieve them and everything before you add it. But curd, is, I absolutely adore curd.
Curd is another thing that I kind of associate with our friends in England. Lemon curd. They love their lemon curd cakes and all of that.
I love lemon curd, yeah.
Not a huge fan of lemon curd.
Coffee curd?
While I was in River Cottage earlier in the week, did I mention that? I made a Bramley apple and tiny bit of lemon curd. And it was delicious. Very apple-y. And the tartness of the apple and the lemon just went together really, really well.
It is a little bit difficult. Like, it takes a little bit of effort to make it. It's not...
Some of the people in the class theirs didn't turn out as well as mine. You're right, so some people found it hard, but it was
yours is perfect. Is
lovely.
It? Yeah,
you will know at Christmas because
it doesn't
you're
last.
Getting a jar.
It doesn't last very long. It has a shortish shelf life.
I see.
Well, it's eggs. It's like
Of course, there's raw egg in there.
Raw egg in it. Yeah. I'd be a big fan of the raw egg
in through a sieve. Little tip I learned during the week, so you don't get those kind of little strings of egg.
Yes, through a sieve.
Oh, great tip. All of this was preparation, you see, for a Christmas cookery class that's going on out at Crowan Cottages this weekend. So I have a load of women coming from all over Ireland to learn how to brine turkey,
to
smoke
trout,
and do some stuff that preserves or whatever that they can give away as gifts. So it's going to be great.
Cool.
But it's all full, so there's no point in encouraging people to book a place.
Oh, flip it, I missed out.
You did. Now, you were talking to us about these marmalade mince pies with marmalade. If it wasn't for the marmalade, they would be absolutely delicious.
The pastry that I actually, my favourite pastry for mince pies is a ground almond-based pastry, which is just very... buttery and flaky and flavoursome, and you don't need an awful lot of sugar because I think you get kind of flavour in that from the ground almonds. And the recipe for that is 400 grams of plain flour, 275 of butter, 75 of icing sugar, and 100 of ground almonds, 2 large egg yolks, and 2 to 3 tablespoons of milk. And you're going to rub in the butter and then combine those ingredients. And once it's all combined nice and smooth and stuff, pop it into the fridge for about an hour before you use it. But I think that's my favourite pastry. That's a puff pastry, but you can buy, you know, packets of pastry, frozen pastry, and they're handy to have in the freezer for sort of, if you really want to do them in a bit of a hurry, all these leave them
Nobody
out.
Has enough time to make puff pastry from scratch.
I've never actually made it from scratch and stuff.
Unbelievably time consuming.
It is, yeah. I'd like to actually be able to do it. I'd love to do it just...
Roll it out and fold, put the butter into it. But the stuff you buy in the frozen section of the supermarket is perfect.
It's perfectly fine. And there's other pastries as well, short crust pastry and that you can buy too, that works absolutely fine. And it's really handy, and you can even buy rolls of it, rolled out and everything. So, that other pastry recipe I think is really good. And if you wanted, you wanted to be really organised, you could actually make your mince pies now, put them into the bun tins and then pop the tin into the freezer and take them from the freezer straight into the oven.
Tin and all in the
tin
freezer.
And all. So if you don't need your tins, if you've got plenty of tins, that is a thing you could do.
They tend to get bagged up out of my place and into the freezer, and then bags will come out as needed. But if you're making a batch, why not make twice the amount for very little extra effort and then pop them in the freezer and away you go.
Yeah, I tend to actually kind of like making them, so I'll make small batches from now on till New Year's, actually, to be honest. Because
will they all be as marmalade-y as these? Because all I could taste now is marmalade, now that we talked about it.
You didn't taste any marmalade. If I didn't tell you about it, you wouldn't have known.
I think I got the big dollop of marmalade in my
But it needs kind of a citrusy something in it. So that's what you get. The marmalade gives you that.
Okay, there are a few text messages in, actually, and I'm not going to read them out.
They love marmalade.
They're all saying that
your
marmalade should
fabulous
be in there.
Snacks.
So we're not reading out any of them. They're all wrong. They're lovely.
So there you go, mince pies.
Excellent.
And I think they're the start of Christmas, really.
They are. Well, it is the taste of Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, and I love the smell of when you're making them in the kitchen. Mm. I do like that.
Cup of tea or a cup of coffee, absolutely ideal.
Yeah, little dollop of cream. Some people like brandy butter with them. I'm a brandy butter with your pudding, not with mince pies. So yeah, a little bit of cream.
So next week, as we're getting into the season of it now, next week we'll start talking about things that you can kind of do in advance, I think, for Christmas a little bit. And we will, over the next couple of weeks, be mentioning gifts that you can give to the food lover in your life and the gardener in your life and so on. So if you've any suggestions or if you've come across anything which you think would be ideal for the kitchen garden as a suggestion for a Christmas present for somebody, please let us know. You can email kitchengarden@ckc.ie. And we'll compile the lists and we'll give you ideas for food lovers, kids, book lovers and gardeners. And we might even get somebody in from the book centre again to talk to us about books this Christmas. I was in there today. I meant to mention it to the ladies and I completely forgot.
There will be the Transition Year Cookbook.
And that's going to be out. Sale. It's going to be out before Christmas. Out for,
yeah, they're under a little bit of pressure at the moment. It's going to the printers on Tuesday.
Wow, the pressure is on.
It is, yes.
And it's enthusiastically sponsored by the Kitchen Garden Kitchen Garden Show on Community Radio Kilkenny City and by Crow and Cottages.
My Hedgehog Bakery. And everybody sort of relates to my
So the sponsorship list will be familiar to all of the readers.
Every dinner that I produce at the moment has been photographed.
For the book?
For the book.
Wow.
Okay. It does have quite a sort of a...
familiar feel for you.
I don't think I'm going to read any new recipes in it, probably, let's put it that way.
It probably won't be necessary for you to buy the cookery book, as it's all your recipes. Now, you know the way we're always talking about gut health on the show and how fermented foods and things like kefir and so on are very, very good for the gut flora and how that can affect, well, everything. You know, about how your mood and so on. Well, it seems now, I was reading during the week, that it can also, your gut can reflect, so not only have what you eat can have an impact on your mood, but your gut can actually reflect how you're feeling emotionally.
Mm.
So if you're stressed or anxious, it can actually slow down your metabolism, so slow down movement of the food through the gut or speed it up. So for healthy digestion, you need to have kind of plenty of fibre, fluid and exercise regularly and try to keep stress to a minimum.
But also I was talking to the chiropractor actually and stress changes your posture, which would obviously affect your digestion and everything as well. He said when you're stressed, you'll tend to like, your shoulder, and you'll have, everything I suppose affects or has a knock-on effect on something else. And stress is probably one of the things that affects most parts of your body in some shape or form, doesn't it?
Mm. So if you're suffering with your gut, you're just not feeling yourself or you're feeling off your food or whatever, have a look at what's going on emotionally in your life. Try and tackle that. But there are some other tips that you can use. So if you've changed to a new eating pattern, that can also have an effect on that. Caffeine, unfortunately, is a major cause of irritation in the gut. And so if you're feeling particularly stressed and it's manifesting itself in your gut, then switching to a decaffeinated version or cutting out some of the unnecessary caffeine. So coffee lovers will all need their morning coffee, but maybe you don't need two or three during the day. Or if you drink Coke as well as your coffee, maybe you can drop the Coke and just stick with the morning coffee. But it can have a significant effect on your gut. And then these things tend to get into a reinforcing cycle. So you feel emotionally drained or stressed, your gut kind of manifests that. Then you don't feel great because your gut's a bit off, and then that kind of adds to the
stress. And then you
don't
take exercise because you don't feel well, exactly. And then you eat something just to
So really you have to intervene to kind of like, you know, try and do something to put an end to that cycle. And if the stress and the anxiety or the emotional difficulty is something that you can't tackle head on, then try and tackle some of the symptoms around it or some of the things that are contributing to it, some of the smaller things. Like, for example, get a bit of exercise, cut out some of the caffeine, make sure that you're getting plenty and plenty of water and fibre in your diet. And then fruit. The chiropractor was also talking to me recently about how drinking a good quality juice made from vegetables and fruit in the morning can actually, so a stressed state can create an acidic environment within the body, whereas having one of these juices can tackle that, and it has an alkaline effect. and so it can kind of neutralize the stress acidity.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's not talking about making a smoothie now, so he's talking about using things like you would in a smoothie, like celery and some of the green leaves and maybe some fruit or whatever, but juicing them as opposed to turning them into a smoothie. So you cut out a lot of the fiber. You just take in the juice.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to start doing that because it sounded like made loads of sense to me.
So do you need like a NutriBoost,
No, because the NutriBullet things will create a smoothie. So they don't take out the fiber. You need a juicer, which uses a kind of cyclonic action to separate juice away from the fiber that's in the fruit and veg. He does it, he kind of makes 2 pints at a time, puts them in bottles in the fridge, and then he'll have half a pint in the morning and half a pint in the afternoon. Says it works wonders for him. I'm going to try it.
Well, he does seem completely stress-free, in fairness.
Yeah, he's the calmest man I've ever come across. It's incredible. That's the chiropractor down in John's Green. He's a wonder. He's kind of a guru as well as somebody who clicks your back and makes the pain go away. Michael Mahoney is his name. Now, protein is also something which, well, it obviously contains amino acids, which make up the chemicals your brain needs to regulate your thoughts and feelings. And so it can help you feel better emotionally, protein can, and it helps keeping you fuller for longer. So things that are rich in protein, obviously meat, fish, eggs, cheese, and then if you want to avoid or supplement those kind of meat-based sources of protein, legumes, so peas, beans, lentils, soy products, nuts and seeds. So make sure you're getting plenty of protein in your diet.
And I mentioned that actually when we were talking about foods for winter, actually.
Yeah.
Protein was one of them, one of the main ones.
It's a kind of comfort, you know, to the metabolism.
Yeah, and I can't remember the detail of what it did to your body actually, but there was, it had something on, it had some effect on the serotonin.
And fats are also something that you want to include in your diet if you want to tackle the, if you're feeling stressed or anxious or a little bit emotional, then your brain needs fatty acids like omega-3 and omega-6 to keep it working well. And so it's obvious that if you're not getting enough of those, your mood and your thought processes will be affected. So don't avoid all fats, which is something that we kind of say to people on the show quite frequently, actually. Mm-hmm. Fat is not bad.
No.
So don't avoid them and go for your healthy fats, which are found in oily fish, poultry, nuts, olive and sunflower oils. And that might help raise the mood. Now, I thought that was very interesting when I was reading it during the week. I hope that's of some use to people. So not only can our guts have an effect on our mood, but we can actually have an effect. Our mood can have an effect on our guts. Right, we better take another ad break. And coming up after that, we'll be talking nature. And you have some...
Loads of nature.
Yeah, loads of nature to talk about this this week. Okay, we'll be back just after these.
You can email the show, kitchengarden@corkc.ie.
Kitchen Garden is sponsored by the Artisan Food Retailers of Kilkenny.
And you're very welcome back to the Kitchen Garden on Community Radio Kilkenny City. Today, Friday, we are live from 4 to 5 and the show is repeated on Mondays from 4 to 5. While we're on the air, you can get in touch by text to 086-353-7782. Don't bother texting in anymore about marmalade in mince pies. It seems the overwhelming majority of you all go for marmalade in the mince pies. Fine, okay, I admit I'm wrong and Mags is right. So well done everybody on that. And Mags says thank you.
Well done, everybody.
To her mammy and her sisters, or to everybody, sorry, for texting in. Anyway, now it's time to talk a little bit about nature. And actually, just while I'm reminded of our sponsors, the message really is, if you're buying gifts for people this Christmas, please shop locally. And if you're buying food gifts, there's no reason to go any further afield than some of the fantastic food retailers we have in Kilkenny, like, for example, Shortus Wong or the Gourmet Store or even Little Green Grocer or Grogan and Brown or
Glossary and Goodies.
Or Glossary and Goodies.
Lots of nice food.
Lots and lots of lovely places to buy food.
And also, don't buy things that we don't need. You know, there's so much kind of wasted stuff, isn't there?
Well, one of the gifts that we'll be talking about, and we mentioned it last year again, is the gift of an experience. So rather than buying stuff for people, and most people, by the time they reach our age, they already have enough stuff. Mm. An experience is nice. So some time away, or some time with loved ones, or a cookery class, or a baking class, or, you know, something like that.
I know where you
like
could
that.
Find one of those.
Yes, out in Hedgehog Bakery.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe the gift of an experience would be nice. Now, nature.
Nature. So, remember we were talking last year about the winter bird, the garden survey?
Did I not just say to people, don't text in anymore about bloody marmalade in mince pies?
I actually love marmalade.
Right.
Well, the garden bird survey results.
Yes.
So they're just out. They were published there recently the Birdwatch Ireland magazine. And you can go through all of the details to see what changed, what didn't change. But there's a couple of interesting, one interesting bird, blackcaps. Have you ever seen one? And if you see it, you'll know exactly what it is, because it literally has a skull of black on its head, the males, and the females have a very distinct kind of orange little cap on their head. And other than that, they're sort of a pale grey, slightly greenish maybe colour. Nice little bird. But until recent years, they came to Ireland, to a few small places, Cavan and on the east coast, and they used to breed, and then they'd head off kind of down south for the winter. But in recent years, they've been found in gardens in the winter here. So they're staying. So they're coming. So now they're resident. They're here for the summer and they're staying for the winter. And only in the last couple of weeks, there was a bird caught, and it had been ringed in Germany, just thus proving that it either that it came from Germany to spend the winter here. And you know what's attracting them here for the winter?
No. Our bird tables.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that quite amazing?
How did they get to hear about them?
Yeah. Well, exactly. They obviously communicate in some shape or form. And I don't know exactly how, but they... So that's what they're doing. So some of them are staying. So they're in woodland and different places during the winter, during the summer. And that's where they'll breed. And then they'll come into our gardens in the... in the winter. Mm. But also there's another population that's coming from Europe to here in the summer, in the winter, for feeding in the winter. So that's...
And when they come and get established in Ireland, do they then migrate on from here at any stage, or are they becoming kind of resident full-time?
Some of them, there are some residents now, but some will still just come for the winter.
Right.
But it's fascinating, isn't it, the way species...
That's,
and that's not over like hundreds of years. This has actually happened relatively quickly, I suppose. So that's one of the, I suppose, successes, but there's lots of then numbers down in various birds. And one is the Greenland white-fronted goose, which the world population now is about, 9,000 come here in the winter, which is nearly half of the world population. The rest go to Scotland.
Right.
And there was a time where they had a couple of different locations in Ireland. Now, if you have a big farm of like winter barley or something, and you get a flock, a couple of thousand of these on it, they would kind of demolish it, really. You know, they're going to feed. But they're all now going to the Wexford slobs.
Right.
And that's where the...
Were they being discouraged by farmers, shall we say?
Up until like early 80s, I think 82, you could actually shoot them. They were a quarry, one on the quarry list.
Right, okay.
But that's changed. And they went through different periods of having difficulties in that. But now their main difficulty is their breeding ground in Greenland. They've had wetter and wetter summers, so they're not breeding as successfully as they used to. So the numbers are in trouble again.
Oh, Lord.
So a couple of years ago, we might have had like maybe 14,000 or 15,000 coming. That's down to 9,000, which is a huge drop, really, isn't it? But yeah, the Wexford slobs is a place to see them. Nice looking birds, actually. Orange.
We've been talking for a long time about going and doing a package or doing a report from the Wexford slobs because of the amount and variety of birds down there. And we've never gotten around to doing it.
No.
We really need to do that.
But it's not just the wildlife down there, actually. It's the whole hydrology and how it works, and the pumping station and the sea walls and everything. Like, it's a fascinating place, actually, for that part as well.
We should set that up.
But this time of the year, it's like...
By we should set that up, I mean you should set that up.
I have to do it, yes. Yeah. So can you imagine what 9,000 geese sound like?
That would be an awful lot of noise.
I've got like five at home and the racket is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was out earlier on actually today and I kind of went, it's really quiet today. And then I realised I'd actually forgotten to let them out.
Oh,
but yeah. So
do you know where I grew up? On the north side of Dublin, Kilbarrick. you know, a housing estate, essentially. But there was a football pitch across the road from my house. Mm-hmm. And we never really paid too much attention to the geese, which used to just wander around on the grass the whole time. But there they were. They would spend the winter. They were Canada geese.
Or were they?
Yeah, they would spend the winter on the football pitch across the road from my house. Obviously, they'd been coming to that when it was farmland, before all of the houses were built, and there was a slight interruption, and then they just came back.
And it was a big expanse of green grass.
Yeah, there were two football pitches and, you know, the surrounds, so they would spend the winter wandering around on that, eating the grass.
I wonder, are they still there?
They were in the most recent photograph that I'd seen. Somebody put up on Facebook there. I noticed them in the background because I was kind of looking out for them. But yeah, it's funny.
Very good.
Yeah, housing estate in Dublin. There you go. I wonder, were they happy after flying all the way from Canada? But anyway.
I think they were delighted. That's what they kind of do, isn't it?
So is there any shocking kind of numbers in the survey results?
No, I suppose no changes in like robins, blackbirds, blue tits, chaffinches. Magpies were up one, which is never something good, really, is it?
That means everything else will be down.
Yeah, exactly. Goldfinches, which when I saw that, they're up three.
Love those.
But I've seen more goldfinches in the last 2 or 3 years than in the rest of my life, and I would see them, like, there's a good population, actually, just at the top of the lane. And
a frequent visitor out at Crowan, and they rarely do you get a chance to have a proper look at them because they move so fast. And several of them together. So your eye is darting from the red to the gold to the yellow. Amazing birds, just to see as a spectacle as they fly past. Yes. The little cloud of colour.
Yeah.
Really lovely.
They love thistles and sparrowhawks are down. But in the garden bird survey, I'm not sure how anything else. No, up. Song thrushes are up. Fieldfares, apparently there's good numbers of those coming in every year. And I've seen actually quite a lot since we were talking about them here a couple of weeks ago. But the survey is starting again on Monday.
Oh, right. And is it too late for people to register?
No, okay. You can register. I think you can register online, or you can, there's actually, you just need to start recording, basically.
Okay.
So there's a form you fill out, literally, like, you know, whereabouts, where your garden is and how big it is, and are you feeding or are you not feeding? They've been doing this for 30 years, so they've gathered...
Citizen science is great, because after that amount of time, you gather an awful lot of data.
And Birdwatch Ireland is celebrating 50 years of existence, actually, and they do great work. I'm a big fan of them, actually. And the Garden Bird Survey is... kindly sponsored by Ballymaloe this year.
Oh, wow.
So you're given a list. So you've got
so you go to birdwatchireland.ie.
Yep.
And on that you find details of the Garden Bird Survey, or you just Google Garden Bird Survey.
Yep.
And that'll bring you straight through it. Okay. Yep. And then you get there and you, what do you do?
So you can, what you want to do is, I think you need a little notebook yourself, right?
Okay.
So for every week, so starting Monday the 3rd of December, you're going to record. They have a list of species, and then you can add in any other species that you might see. So what you want to do is you want to record the largest number of that species that you see during that week.
Okay.
So that's going to take a bit of effort, because let's say on Monday you see 4 robins, and then on Thursday you see 10 or whatever. So you need to keep an eye. If you can't look every day, it doesn't matter, but whatever day you see the most of number of that species, and that's the figure that you record.
Okay.
So and you don't record, if you see a flock of geese flying above, you don't record those.
Okay.
You're just recording what you see in your actual space in your garden. And you do that then every week until the last week is the 25th of February.
But then you also give them details about your garden, so they can kind of figure out, so are you feeding them? Are you in an urban garden, a suburban garden, or a rural garden, and so on?
And are there berries available, and that sort of thing.
Great.
So
filling out the initial section of the details of your garden and who you are, that'll only take a couple of minutes. But thereafter then, each week, you've to start recording, and they give you the giant list of birds there, and there's space for other species at the bottom. So if nothing else, that would kind of encourage you to learn to identify these species, or at least identify the birds that are in your garden. And then you record all the way from next week right up to the end of February, and send that back into them. And you can do it online, or they can give you a paper copy.
You can download a paper copy, and if you want to do it like that.
Brilliant. Okay. Right.
Actually, sorry, tree creepers. Their numbers are up. Sorry, I did see that somewhere. And I can't see them now.
Gorgeous bird.
They're beautiful, aren't they? Such
we saw one, I think,
bird.
When we went to visit that garden in Carlow. We did a report from one of the gardens in Carlow, and there was a tree creeper on one of the trees there.
Yeah, and they literally just walk up the side of the tree.
Amazing.
Yeah, and kind of a long bill.
Tiny little bird.
Up six, actually, which is quite good.
That's big.
Yeah, I was. You don't see them that regularly, but... So I'm going to try and do that survey this year.
Excellent.
Stop talking about it.
Just wait a minute. You haven't been doing it up until now?
No, I haven't.
So you've just been telling us to do it every year?
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Learning lots this week about you, Max. Learning lots.
Mussels.
Marmalade. So tell us about mussels. I read about this
mussels.
In the Irish Times.
Yeah.
The Tussle for Mussels, I think, was the title of the piece, was it? Our poor freshwater mussels, which I know live...
Freshwater pearl mussels.
For like 100 years.
120 years.
Is that the
longest
oldest?
Living? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Margaritifera is what they're called. And they live in clean, fast-flowing rivers or occasionally in lakes. So that's the species. But in the Nore... it's not quite a subspecies, and they've been looking into this for the last couple of years, but it is that species, but it has a variation, but the variation isn't big enough for it to be named as a separate species.
Okay.
And the variation is that generally they like kind of slightly acidic water, so water that's come from a bog.
Mm.
But this species, or this variation of the species, actually likes the hard water of the River Nore, the limestone area.
Right.
I just think nature is so like fascinating.
Now that adaptation probably happened very, very, very slowly.
Very slowly, yeah.
Over a couple of thousand years.
And probably as they moved, you know, habitat, so as they moved range, probably. But in Kilkenny, you'll find them only north of Ballyragget.
Okay.
And that's where they are. And they do produce pearls. I would have never thought of Irish pearls, would you?
Yeah, but now the numbers of them are very, very small.
So
you'd have to crack open
a thousand to get
mussels.
One pearl.
Right, so you have to kill an awful lot of them.
So you'd have to kill.
Right.
But did you know that the crown jewels actually includes a string of Irish mussels, Irish pearls?
Really?
So that would have taken probably thousands of mussels to produce that string of pearls.
I think I'm starting to see why numbers may be in trouble then of our friend the freshwater mussel.
That's not actually not the main reason for the decline and stuff.
Oh.
Like 90% have died out across Europe in the 19th century, and it's more because they need really clean water.
Oh.
So siltation is a problem, and they have a very complicated life cycle, which just I'm going to try and explain it kind of quickly and stuff. The females lay, I don't know, millions of eggs, and they have to, within a couple of hours, these eggs have to embed themselves in the gills of salmon or trout. And when they're migrating and be taken off. So they're under pressure really from the start. But water quality, siltation, all of that is the main problem. And I know when, the SA, the Nore and the Barrow is part of an SAC, Special Area of Conservation, and that would be one of the reasons for the conservation of those sites. And when they were building the motorways and the road schemes, there was huge concern about doing anything in the river, like putting in bridges and having to pile or disturb the river bed, that they would disturb the mussels. But since that work was done, there was lots of research done, because they didn't know an awful lot about them either, because if you think about it, it's a tiny species in a small country, you know. You need a huge resource to actually but there is an expert in Ireland now on pearl, freshwater pearl mussels, and lots of work has been done on the populations, but they're still under huge threat. They're in difficulty.
What an amazingly complex life cycle. I've always wondered how a species like that develops, that requires another species as part of its life cycle.
Yeah.
And it's funny you should mention, because there's something else that has a weird life cycle like that, and that's fluke, you know, the way so it needs to live in a snail before it then lives in like a ruminant, like a sheep, and then it gets onto the grass. A fluke is what causes the pearl mussel to produce the pearl. So if it becomes infected by a little fluke, it surrounds that fluke in that kind of calcareous kind of growth, which becomes the pearl over time.
Oh,
so the longer it lives with that little fluke worm inside it, the bigger your pearl will be. So at the centre of all of those lovely pearls, there's a little fluke.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that nice?
That's interesting. Yeah.
They seem slightly less glamorous to me now. Now, listen, we better talk about some jobs to do, because while you were away, I gave most people the week off and told them to do nothing.
Really?
But now is a good time to take some hardwood cuttings, if you wanted to do that. Plant up some pots on a beautiful day like today, and today was really, really lovely here in Kilkenny. It was a great day to be working outside. Plant up some pots with some bulbs, if you have any bulbs left over that you didn't get in the ground, and you can use those as some movable colour in the spring. Now is the time, if you can get your hands on any good compost or farmyard manure, spread it over the area that you're going to be growing your crops in next year, and let the worms do their job over the winter, and that's bringing the goodness down into the soil. And I'm going to plant the raspberry canes, which you promised me about a month ago. I'm going to plant them this weekend because you brought them in with you, haven't you? So if you do get any raspberry canes from a friend of yours that you've asked them for, now is the time to get those into the ground. That would be good.
Okay. Do you want to prune them?
No, you can just give me a couple of cuttings. I'm not going to have to prune them for you. And one of the things I'm going to be talking about in the Christmas gift guide is mushroom kits. I love me mushrooms. But now is a good time to kind of get them going.
I have one sitting at home.
There you go. Now's the good time to get it started. But we've run out of time in the kitchen garden for another week. We'll be back at the same time next week, Friday, from 4 to 5.